In the early modern period of England, a man dressed in a foliage costume was used to represent a variant of the European wild man. It would be in the 16th century that this figure would eventually become popularly known as a green man. Here, the said man would cover himself in leaves as part of a parade, pageant, or ritual. Their role was often to clear paths through the crowd so the parade could continue. And by the 17th century, pubs had begun to take up the moniker as their official name, with many of them still in use to this very day. Some folklorists have claimed that the traditions of this green man hold connections to the pagans. However, this idea has been contested by many, stating that there is no evidence that the foliate head motif was ever associated with paganism. That said, the figure is even now still used, usually as a folkloric-like being that represents nature in today's world. And stories of beings close to this can be found throughout history. However, in certain parts of the world, if you were to share stories of a green man, you will be evoking tales that are far more modern, far more sinister, and far more connected to real-life tales. My name is Luke Mordew, and this urban legend is the Green Man. Green is very much the color of nature. Chlorophyll is the primary facilitator of photosynthesis and absorbs red and blue light whilst reflecting green, which is why almost all plant life is some shade of green in color. This association has led to many correlating it with healthy vegetables and happy leaves, emphasizing it as one that represents nature and natural wonders. However, we seem to hold conflicting feelings towards this color when it comes to our associations, as it is also heavily connected to slime, snot, pus, rubbish, bad smells, and toxic waste. Green, as well as representing nature and health, also represents the opposite, with mold and illness, a huge juxtaposition to each other, with only the context being the differentiating factors. The smell of cheese in a cheese bar can make your stomach rumble, yet the smell of cheese in a bathroom will make your stomach turn. With different contexts, the same sensation in our senses can create different outcomes, and green works in much the same way. It is the natural color of our world, and yet, if attached to something outside of what we expect, it can so quickly become putrid and disgusting. Each color has a fascinating history of study through psychology and physiology, yet none are associated with disgust as often as green. The green man in England and Europe has been lucky enough to maintain its association with nature for many years now. However, across the pond, in certain areas of North America, the green man exists far closer to the realms of horror than those of wonder. In my telling of an encounter with the Green Man, we will follow Maria and Pablo aboard at a motel just off of Route 351 in Pennsylvania. Maria sat outside the motel room her dad had rented for the day. She held a small stick in her hand, trying to coax an ant that ran around by her feet to climb onto it. Her little brother, Pablo, was keeping himself busy by throwing his bouncy ball against the floor, attempting to get it higher than the roof. It had been a long drive after setting off the previous day. They had driven through most of the night and only just stopped for good a couple of hours ago. These two had been in the USA for a few years since moving from Colombia, but they hadn't seen much of it yet because their dad was always so busy. They had thought that this drive could have, perhaps at least, been a little insight into more of their new country. But they would quickly realize that much of this trip would be nothing but fields and trees. By the time the sun began to peek over the horizon, their dad was struggling to keep his eyes open. And so, accepting defeat, he had decided it was time to nap. However, these two had been fast asleep for most of the night, with Pablo curled up in the back seat and Maria slumped in the passenger seat chair, meaning they were now wide awake and bored. There wasn't much to do here. A motel by the side of the road wasn't exactly a kid-friendly environment. And although there was woodland up ahead, they had seen so many trees over the past 24 hours that it piqued no form of curiosity. Maria dropped the stick to the floor and got to her feet, walking back to the motel room. But as she did, she hit the bouncy ball away from Pablo mid-air, causing him to swear in frustration as he chased after it. She laughed to herself and peered through the glass to see her dad was still fast asleep on the bed. It didn't look as though they'd be making a move anytime soon, which caused her to sigh with dread, contemplating what to do with her time. Her phone was sitting beside him, but it needed to charge. If she got it now, she would have something to do, sure, but she would continue to be bored for the rest of their journey. She turned to Pablo to see he was now standing in the car park, holding his bouncy ball in hand whilst he stared out into the trees. He turned to her and signaled for her to take a look, excitement gleaming in his eyes. Maria turned to see a beautiful, delicate-looking white-tailed deer grazing by the trees, gently sniffing at the ground. She instinctually stepped forward, slowly creeping closer before she could even register what she was doing. Still gripping his bouncy ball, Pablo edged closer with her, shuffling forward to catch up. She flashed him a frustrated glare, a warning that told him not to make any noise. But unfortunately, the deer had already noticed them and shot off into the trees. Pablo let out a groan of disappointment, accepting defeat. However, Maria wouldn't give up so easily, darting forward to chase after it and get a better look. What else was she going to do? Continue playing with sticks? When she arrived by the trees, she noticed that the deer had joined three others. Although the sudden spring into action had seemingly spooked them all as they darted deeper into the woods ahead. By now, her excitement was up and the chase was on. So without hesitation, she darted forward again just as Pablo finally caught up with her. She giggled to herself as Pablo attempted to keep up with her with his shorter legs. But no matter how much taller she was, she would never catch up to the elegant creatures ahead who had already vanished from sight. Maria finally stopped running, accepting defeat as Pablo chased from behind. She captured her breath for a moment, looking up at the wet leaves of the trees that occasionally dripped the leftover raindrops from the morning's downpour. It was suddenly quiet and calm around here. Not only could she no longer hear the car speeding up the highway, but all animal life had seemingly silenced too. She was surrounded by green, damp trees stretching out over the brown, murky ground beneath her feet. As she watched them, she could finally appreciate their beauty as the calm tranquility of nature began to flow through her with every breath. Pablo, on the other hand, had found himself distracted by something else entirely the moment he arrived by her, already making his way towards a clearing past the thick bushes ahead. She turned and followed him, curious by what had caught his eye, pulling back the bushes he had just climbed through. Up ahead was what looked to be a large cement wall that stood against the beginning of a hill where the ground level had completely changed. In the center of it was a large round tunnel that seemingly led into nothing but thick blackness. Pablo climbed over the pebbled rocks below his feet as they crunched into the water flowing from inside. Beside the entrance was a broken shopping cart and several plastic bags. Around this were signs of various fires where teenagers had seemingly come to hang out. It was strange. The sky had been grey all day, constantly looking as though it was minutes from rain. However, to Maria, it now seemed to have already gotten a little bit darker. Pablo crept closer to the tunnel entrance, his eyes fixated on the blackness as if waiting to see something inside. Maria, on the other hand, stayed a little further back, her feet firmly against the little rocks by the stream. She looked around again, ensuring that nothing else of note was around them, but nothing stood out except the lime green spray paint written across the cemented wall ahead. It meant nothing to her, yet it was such an odd and unnerving sentence that it sent a shiver down her spine. Pablo looked at it curiously and read it aloud. "Beware the green man." This warning hadn't affected him as it had her, as he laughed before turning back to Maria. "Who's the green man?" Maria shook her head and told him that they should get back to the motel, trying to act as relaxed as possible. But Pablo was having none of it. He was fascinated by their discovery. Finally, something interesting was happening. She wanted him to come back with her, but there was no way she would leave him. And so, she stepped closer instead. Pablo had seemingly caught on to Maria's discomfort and begun to taunt her, which instantly morphed her anxieties into irritation. "Okay then," she shot back at him. "Go in." Pablo hesitated for a moment, laughing it off with a shrug. He had no intention of going inside, but he was not going to allow her to see that. He told her to go in instead, and then he would after. But she called his bluff, telling him that if he went far enough into the tunnel, she would allow him to sit in the front seat for the rest of the journey. He contemplated this bargain for a moment, gripping the bouncy ball in his hand so tightly that his fingertips had turned white. "Fine then," he said with a smirk, emphasizing how aloof he was about the entire situation. Maria watched him with a sinister smile as he slowly entered the tunnel's darkness. She couldn't believe he was stepping inside, although she was sure that he was about to turn around and leave at any moment. She wouldn't have to really give up shotgun. The ground crunched beneath Pablo's feet with every slow step that he took, echoing through the seemingly never-ending tunnel. Maria remained by the daylight of the grey skies, watching him with an encouraging but sarcastic smile as he continued. By now, she was quite impressed he had made it so far into the shadow. Although, now that the frustration had worn off and the bravados had faded, the nervousness she felt at the sight of this tunnel had begun to seep its way back into her thoughts. Pablo had now gotten so deep into the tunnel that he had begun to disappear from her sight, getting darker far sooner than either of them had anticipated. Now, Maria couldn't see him at all, causing her anxiety to spike to new heights. She demanded he return, but he had seemingly grown more comfortable with where he was, now pulling out his phone from his pocket to better look at his surroundings. Maria watched as the white light of his phone's torch shone around the tunnel, revealing more trash and dirt. He began to explain what he could see, with amazement in the tone of his voice that echoed back up the tunnel. He took another step into the darkness, before turning back, shining his torch into her direction. All she could see was the bright white spot of his torchlight, shining out at her from the shadow as he began his sentence.
"It's actually not that."
But suddenly, as he stopped talking, the phone slammed straight to the floor. Maria sniggered for a moment, assuming that he had tripped and was about to get back up. However, the tunnel had now dropped back into silence. She called out for him, but he didn't respond. She announced that she was leaving if he didn't stop, but this didn't seem to work either. Her heart began to beat hard against her chest as she watched the slight glow of the phone's torch shine down into the rocks beneath it. She knew that Pablo was most likely trying to scare her or force her inside. She knew that he was getting comfortable and had a habit of going too far with his jokes. although she also acknowledged that it was her fault that he was in there to begin with. A high-pitched smack suddenly echoed from the dark, followed by another and another, slightly losing momentum each time as it drew closer. Eventually, it reached the end of the tunnel, revealing itself to be the bouncy ball springing off the tunnel walls as if it had just been thrown towards her. It flew out of the tunnel until it finally stopped bouncing, rolling to a stop in the shallow stream. Maria turned back to the darkness, now filled with more anger than fear, telling Pablo to get out of the tunnel. But even now, he hadn't replied. There was no way she would allow him the satisfaction of getting the front seat and having reason to gloat. So, she inhaled and paced into the tunnel, charging away from the grey air of sunlight behind. Once she arrived by his phone, she instantly grabbed it, scooping it up in her hand. She lifted it to the front of her face, lighting up the tunnel ahead. But to her confusion, Pablo was still nowhere to be seen. She called out once more, although this time her voice ever so slightly broke. The anxiety was now getting the better of her. The light had begun to shake as her limbs trembled. She fought against the weakening of her knees to keep her upright, slowly turning to light the shadows, hoping to see her little brother's stupid grin staring back at her. But there was nothing. Now the fear had become too much for her. She had to get out of there, whether he was joking or not. And so, with her shaking legs, she finally turned to leave. But as she turned her head, she revealed that a faceless figure emerging from the shadow was edging closer towards her. The moment she flashed the torchlight onto him, she could see that he had no features. It was as if his entire face had been rubbed out of existence. Her heart sank as she turned to run, backing away from the grip of his fingers that reached out to her, but it was already too late. The figure's pale green hands gripped her and dragged her back into the shadow. Outside in the trees, the white-tailed deer's ears would prick up again at the sounds of Maria's calls for help that echoed from the darkness. They all turned in unison and darted away to escape any looming dangers, heeding the warning written so clearly on the tunnel wall. Beware the Green Man. Stories of the Green Man have continued for generations, still being talked about in some regions of the USA as a legend to this day. It is often used as a scary story to keep children close to home during the darker hours of the day. However, it seemed as though the mystery had quite the opposite effect. As the legend has grown over the years, many kids have found the idea of this being so enticing that they were actively seeking it out. There are many variations of what events took place to create the Green Man, with a variety of explanations of what would happen if you crossed him. Some would state he was just a man who had worked in a factory, where he was involved in a horrible accident. They say that he had been splashed on the face with acid, causing his features to melt together. Others claimed that he was a West Mifflin man who worked for a power company. They say that on one fateful day, he was suddenly struck by lightning, causing much of the same effect. In some iterations, he instead became this way by falling into a vat of radioactive waste at the Duquesne power plant. Although here, it not only disfigured his face, but also turned his skin green. In fact, in almost all of these stories, it is not just the disfigurement of the man's face that occurs, but also the changing of his pigmentation to an unnatural green that glows in the darkness of the night, earning him the title of the Green Man. Although, at times he has also been known as Charlie No Face. Not all stories involving this unfortunate man represent him as a living, disfigured human being, though, with some tales suggesting that he was a man who had been buried alive, leaving his flesh to slowly decay on his face, resulting in the ghostly figure that now walks the earth. Other tales meet in the middle, with the previously listed accidents still said to have occurred. However, in these versions, he had died instantly and was now roaming the earth as a doomed specter for all eternity. Whether he is dead or alive, a consistent element is that you are not to cross paths with the figure. As if he realizes you are close by, he will chase you away, wanting to drag his victims back into the shadow. Kids would begin to claim that there were ways in which you could get his attention on purpose, either by blowing your car horn or by yelling out for him to reveal himself, often used in a dare-like fashion as a way for the youth to prove their bravery whilst facing up to the spooky entity that may appear. Over the years, reported legitimate sightings of this green man have popped up across North America, commonly appearing in the Pittsburgh region. However, it has been found in numerous places, such as North and South Park, Brookline, McKees Rocks, West Mifflin, Ross Township, and Newcastle. Even today, stories are passed to the children of Pittsburgh South Hills, telling of a green man haunting the deserted South Park Railroad Tunnel, now widely known as Green Man Tunnel. Much like before, this tunnel has become a spot for children to tease each other with, attempting to scare themselves and their friends as they risk being chased by the green figure that is said to linger in the shadows. There have even been some reports that sightings of the Green Man have picked up in recent years. However, they're in Ohio this time. Here, the story tells of a drunk man who had entered an electrical substation in an isolated area, resulting in him being electrocuted by a transformer. In this tale, the man survives the horrifying ordeal, although, as a result of the accident, he now has glowing green skin over his entire body. A noteworthy aspect of these legends is that in many of their tellings, there is no suggestion that the accident, no matter what that accident is said to be, affects the victim's brain. Yet, simply due to the disfigurement of their face or skin, they are known as a monstrous creature in a story. This is an aspect we see in many narratives, that disfigurement represents menacing intent and evil doings. The story of the Green Man will never be a worldwide phenomenon, and is undeniably outlandish in many ways. That being said, it has proven to be a resilient tale that will not be going away anytime soon. Over the years, with every retelling, the story has changed ever so slightly, often becoming a little more spooky or supernatural each time. However, as the Ohio legend suggests, the story of a man being disfigured due to electrocution has remained a consistent aspect in many of the variants. And for that, there is a very good reason. It is not just because it is such a strange tale of unusual events, but also because there is so much evidence for its legitimacy. If you were to research the case of the Green Man, or if you were to look up the origins of Charlie No Face, you'd likely stumble across very real photographs of a man that fits this description surprisingly well. On top of this, not only will you find tales of a ghostly, haunting being, but also those of a gentle and kind human being that they once knew. Not as a legend, but as a man. A man named Ray.
I hope you're enjoying this chapter so far, and we will return to it. But first, I wanted to steal you away for a moment. I love what I do, and delving into the history of urban legends and folklore is as fascinating as it is rewarding. I feel fortunate to have thousands of people listening to my research each week. The kind messages I receive are both heartwarming and reassuring. However, it takes a very long time to create each chapter. And no matter how much I enjoy it, doing this for free is not always a possibility, leading to significant gaps between seasons, gaps that I hope to shorten in the future. And this is where your support is needed. Through Patreon, you can subscribe for as little as £3 a month, less than a latte at your local barista. By doing so, you will receive all episodes without any advertisements or breaks. You'll also be able to listen to each chapter the Friday before the general public. On top of this, you'll receive a weekly newsletter and discounts on merchandise. We're not just building a community there, but forging a fellowship of folklore enthusiasts. Join our private group chats, where you can share your stories, theories, and discoveries with like-minded individuals captivated by modern myths. Let's discover what you've heard, what you may want to hear, or what you think of any specific legend. Your support on Patreon isn't just a subscription. It's an investment in preserving our urban legend show.
Please help us continue our journey and in return, become part of our team. Not only that, but if you join us today, you'll be entered into a prize draw where I'll be choosing 8 patron names at random before the next season begins. Once contacted, if permission is granted, you will be written into one of our new stories, putting you within the legends we tell. Visit our Patreon page by following the link in our show notes, clicking subscribe, and paying whatever you can afford to give. I look forward to your support as we continue to unravel folklore together. And now, back to the legend. It was on June the 18th of 1919 that an 8-year-old boy by the name of Raymond Robinson was walking with his sister and a few friends in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, just outside of Beaver Falls, heading towards a swimming hole. Here, they noticed a bird's nest perched atop a tree that sat next to an abandoned trolley trestle on the Morado Bridge. They were curious as to whether any eggs were resting inside this nest, and so Raymond began to climb a pylon to check. What these adventurous children had failed to realize, though, was that the electrical lines upon this bridge were still holding 1,200 volts of electricity. In fact, this had killed another young boy by the name of Robert Littell a year prior after severe electrocution. It was during this climb that Raymond would accidentally touch one of these live lines with his left hand, causing a horrifying electrocution to take place. His left hand would be completely burnt off all the way up to his elbow. He would lose both his eyes and nose, whilst his lips and ears would be disfigured. The next day, the Beaver Falls newspaper would print a headline that read, "Morado Lad, 8. Shocked by live wire, will die." However, somewhat miraculously, little Raymond would prove this headline wrong and go on to survive. After a long recuperation, Ray was finally released with a prosthetic nose connected to a pair of dark glasses that concealed his empty eye sockets. Over the years, Ray would live with his family in Coppell, Beaver County, Pennsylvania, spending his days at home making doormats, wallets, and belts to sell. He would spend much of his life in and out of Pittsburgh Hospital, having numerous surgeries to see what little improvements could be achieved to help his ease of life. There isn't much on his personal life at home. However, family members have spoken fondly of him, saying that over time, the way he looked rarely came into their minds. He was known to enjoy working on metal puzzles and had even learnt Braille, allowing him to disappear into the world's stories whenever he pleased. In his room, he had a shortwave radio, and by his favourite easy chair in the living room, he had a Philco, with his family stating that he would spend hours just enjoying listening to them. At times, he would like to assist with household chores, doing what he could to help, especially mowing the grass outside. However, his family would later admit that he often missed spots that they didn't mind fixing up afterwards. Once Ray was a man, his family had created a makeshift apartment for him out of their garage so that he could have his own space whilst remaining close enough for them to assist him when needed. All things considered, people talk of Ray as though he was doing just fine. It has seemed that he had made peace with his life long ago. Raymond would love to walk, often taking routes along the highway, always by himself, and always at night. It is said that he chose to do this at this hour to keep away from people, not only to avoid drawing attention to himself, but also not to frighten anyone he may come across. And it is these walks that laid the groundwork for the story that would later become urban legend. It isn't known when these walks began, but they were always along a route he had established, following the road running between Coppell and New Galilee, also known as Route 351. Depending on the weather, Ray would go out several times a week with his walking stick in hand and could cover miles of ground in his trails. His mother and stepfather weren't happy about this decision, worrying for his safety and what may happen to him if he were to cross paths with the wrong person. However, he was an adult now, and there was nothing they could really do to stop him, causing anxieties to rise in the household whenever he would be out too long, with several family members later reminiscing over times they had been sent out to look for him. At first, locals would begin to hear stories of the strange figure walking along the roadside at night, with some knowing Raymond's story and others having no idea who he was. Whether they did or not was irrelevant in the end, as before long, teenagers from all over would find themselves driving up and down the long roads in the hopes of catching a glimpse of Ray. His presence would soon be shared as an urban legend, now fitted with a name that he would be known as forevermore: Charlie No Face. The teenagers of the time would later go on to talk fondly of their time with Raymond. They would explain that if he heard them approaching, he would usually hide behind trees, trying to keep himself out of sight so that they couldn't bother him. However, once he learned that they meant him no harm, he would come out of the shadows and allow a conversation to ensue. There are actually many accounts of kindness being shared with him. Undeniably, they had arrived due to a curiosity and fascination. But once they had found him to be just a man, they would converse as such whilst sharing their beer and cigarettes. That being said, there was a reason that Raymond would be so cautious about meeting new people, as there are also many reports of people attacking him, calling him horrible names, or following him whilst hurling abuse. From this, rumors even began that Raymond was secretly carrying a gun in his belt. Some wanted photographs with him to prove that they had indeed met the legend themselves, whereas others wanted to do nothing but let him know just how much his very existence troubled them. Who first coined the name of Charlie No Face, or where the name Charlie even came from, is unknown. But it had stuck, alongside his other, more consistent nickname, the Green Man. The reason for this was supposedly due to the color of Raymond's skin, which now had a green hue to it since the accident. However, some have suggested that this was due to the discoloration of his nose area, which was now a constant open wound prone to infection. Some have suggested that it could instead be due to how the car lights would reflect off of Ray's flannels when passing him in the night. However, the real reason behind this will never truly be known. Many out there likely even questioned his existence, only truly believing in him once they had seen him with their own eyes. People had visited him with different attitudes, motives, and intentions. However, collectively, even with the kindness he would receive, it seems his humanity had been taken away. By giving his story this legendary status, it opened the doors for several incorrect pieces of his story to enter. This is where the variations of him working at a power plant originally emerged from, with the greenness of his skin attributed to a horrible accident at work. Even to this day, the story of Raymond is discussed as Charlie No Face or the Green Man, where the legend had ultimately renamed him for one that was more exciting and intriguing. This decimation of humanity would show itself in real time on several nights, as people would pull up outside of his house and beep their horns, screaming that they wanted to see Charlie. At one point, a carnival owner had even propositioned him to join their traveling freak show. But regardless of all of this, it was hard to deter Raymond from his nightly walks. His family could never fully comprehend why his existence seemed to draw such large crowds, growing defensive over him when they heard the new names he had been attributed. On top of this, they did not like that he was given alcohol, as this was never welcome in their home. On several occasions, it is said that he would get so drunk he would lose his way home, and at times they wouldn't find him until the following morning. During the Vietnam War, it is said that several draftees had taken the photographs they had taken with Raymond with them, now being shared as a ghost story to other soldiers. Here is one of the first places we find the story of the Green Man evolving into legend before arriving back at the shores of the United States, where it would continue its evolution. Raymond would go on to live a long life, eventually dying on June 11, 1985, at the age of 74, whilst living at the Beaver County Geriatric Center. Now, he is buried at the Grandview Cemetery, which overlooks the very spot where his tragic accident had taken place. As he had gotten older, the walks had become less commonplace, until they had eventually stopped entirely. The harassment he had experienced seemingly slowed, and things for the household had calmed. However, by now, the legend of the Green Man had taken on a form of its own, continuing to spread across the entire continent. Eventually, the tale would be so far removed from Raymond that the belief in his authenticity had begun to wane once more. By the 2000s, a new generation of teenagers would be scaring each other around the Piney Fork Tunnel along Route 351, now locally known as Green Man Tunnel. He was now a supernatural entity that haunted the area, coming to chase anybody who had gotten too close to him. He would appear in scary stories, plays, podcasts, books, and so much more. However, it is also worth noting that the connections between Raymond and the Green Man are far more apparent in recent years. You cannot search the internet for information on Charlie No Face or the Green Man without finding articles on Raymond Robinson. Although alternatively, you'll never look up articles on Raymond without finding stories of the urban legend either. The stories of the Green Man may be a horror story to those that hear it, and its legend may continue as a ghostly tale for years to come. But still, the story of Raymond himself is, instead, one of tragedy, heartbreak, and life-affirming resilience. The Daily Times would write at the time of the incident back in 1919 that, in spite of all of his affliction, the boy is in good humor. From the very beginning, Ray was able to persevere whilst maintaining a semblance of joy and goodwill with him. And, according to his nephew, these would be traits that Raymond would keep up to his final days.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.